You're glad you're redeemed, say amen. Real loud. Amen. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, just a second, in your Bible, if you would. A couple of verses, verses 6 and 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. You know, after you're redeemed, after you're saved, the devil does not let up on you. And you know, he's always fighting and doing everything he can to defeat us, to destroy our testimony, to make us ineffective as far as bringing glory to God. That's just the way the devil works. And he does it in a lot of different ways. Sometimes he'll make you go back to your old sin. He doesn't force you. He can't force you to do it, but you go back to the old sin. And as a result of that, he defeats you. Some people do that. Sometimes he gets us all wrapped up in the world, and people go back into worldliness and they want to be accepted by the world. There's another way that I think he really works on our lives after we're saved to really try to defeat us, and that is he tries to discourage us. God cannot use a discouraged Christian. God cannot use a discouraged Christian. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." And here's some of the greatest advice that God ever gave his children. "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Amen. Casting all of your care upon him, Jesus Christ, for he careth for you. Job has given us a promise about life in Job chapter 5, verse 7. He says, "Yet a man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." That's a simple way of saying to us, if you're alive, even though you're saved, doesn't matter who you are, you're going to have some problems. You're going to have some troubles. It's sort of like watching a fire burn and somebody stokes it a little bit and all those cinders go up in the air. He says that's the way it's going to be in life. You're going to have some problems in life. By the way, the purpose of life is not enjoyment. The purpose of life has never been enjoyment for God. We can have joy in the midst of troubles, but the purpose of life has never been for enjoyment. God wants in our lives for us to develop godly character, and with that godly character, to bring glory to his name and lead other people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. And God will control his purposes. It's never been that we would just always enjoy life. Why doesn't God give us a perfect world? Why does God allow sin and trouble? Only God has the answers to all of that. But I can tell you this, those things are allowed. And we ask the question, does God care? Does God really care? The answer is, oh yes, he cares. I promise you today, no matter what you're going through, God cares. And it is sometimes the responsibility of a pastor to deal with people, talk to people, counsel people. They call on the telephone. They come by the office. And over these 43 years of pastoring, I've met a lot of people that have a lot of problems, even though they're saved. But sometimes, if they're not careful, they will allow their problems to drive them away from God instead of toward God. And that's a wrong way to approach it. How does God prove that he cares? I said he cares. He does prove that he cares. Number one, by provision. God proves that he cares by provision. Most everybody has children. How many of you have children? Raise your hand. Well, you know it is your desire to take care of those children because you love them. And that's why you give them gifts. That's why you, in your wisdom, try to give them what is best for them. It's because you love them and you provide for them. What kind of parent? The Bible says that a man would not provide for his household is worse than an infidel. That doesn't mean you got to give them all the toys, but it does mean you need to provide clothing and shelter and food and take care of them. And if not, you're worse than an infidel. Even an infidel has enough sense to do some of that. But we provide because we love our children. God proves his love by providing. My soul, what is God providing for you today? Just think of all the provisions he's given you.
Amen.
You may not ever have everything you want. I believe God says if we're walking upright, he's willing to give us not only our wants, but the desires of our heart. But see, if you're walking upright, the desires of your heart are going to be right. They're going to be Bible-based, biblically-based, and he'll have no problem giving you even the desires of your heart. God has given me a lot of the desires of my heart. And I believe that God proves that he cares by his provision, his gifts, and the things that God gives us. He proves that he cares by his providence. God is in charge. God is sovereign. And God is in control of the things that happen in our lives. The Latin word for providence means to see beforehand. Did you know God knows what's going to happen to you tomorrow and next week and next month and next year and the rest of your life? I did not say he causes all of those things to happen, but God cannot help his foreknowledge, though he does not cause those things to happen. But God works in our lives in a providential way. Did you know that God is never surprised? I like surprises. Sometimes I get surprised. Sometimes they're good. I like most surprises. I might need to reword that. I've had a few that I didn't like too well. But I like surprises that are good surprises. But God is never surprised. And God gives us the rules. God encourages us to pray. God encourages us to live for him. And then, listen to me, as we do that, the things that happen in our lives are not accidents.
Amen.
God allows them to happen. Romans 8:28. Most of you know that verse. God proves that he cares by his provision, by his providence, by his promises. I thank God for the promises of God. Well, where do you get the promises of God? You get it from the Word of God. It's saturated with promises. God proves that he cares by his promises, and he gives us those things in the Bible. That's why we need to daily be in the Word of God and daily claim the promises of God. And when you come to a dark hour, then the promises of God are going to shine through. They're going to carry you through that time. Our electricity was off about 6 hours or so yesterday, and it was beginning to get dark, and I was wanting to read my Bible a little bit, and I thought about the light, that I needed light, and we had some candles, and then I got close to the window, and I was able to read the Bible. And I was thinking of that light being like the promises of God in darkness. God's promises are always there.
Amen.
And you can claim his promises today. You say, well, it's just chance, it's just luck. Christian, learn this. There is no such thing as good luck or bad luck to a Christian. Now, we use that term rather loosely. And I'm not going to condemn you if you say, well, he had a little bad luck. I know what you mean. But there's no such thing as good luck, bad luck. It's all that is allowed by God and the providence of God to bring us to where we should be.
Amen.
To help us to know the Scriptures so we can claim those promises, to trust those promises. We need to not sit on the premises, but stand on the promises.
Amen.
But you can stand on the promises sitting down. Did you know that? There are a lot of people on a hospital bed right now standing on the promises.
Amen.
You don't have to stand up to stand. We always say when we sing that song, we can't sit down and sing standing on the promises. Well, really, we could. But we don't. But we stand on the promises of God. Claim them. He has one for us. Trust them. Believe them. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, yes, and in him, amen. So be it, is what the word means, unto the glory of God by us. You see, it's amen and it's there. Claim the promises of God. Now, How do we cast our cares on Him? One of the ways is to claim the promises. But we always start this way. How are we enabled to cast our cares and our problems and our tragedies and our dark times and our rough times? How are we able to cast them on the Lord? We do it, number one, by being saved. You'll never be able to cast your cares on the Lord because He's not your Lord until you know that you're born again. You have to be saved. Thank God all of God's saved people can cast their cares on Him.
Amen.
And then I think we have to admit our inability. There's some things that have come down the pike in my life that there was no way under God's sun I can handle by myself. Couldn't do it. And there will be more. There will be more before the rapture, before I die. There are some things that I have to understand that I cannot handle. Only God can handle them. Admit your inability. 1 Peter 5:5-6. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the older or the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Sometimes the best thing we can do is fall on our faces before God and cry out, say, "Oh God, I cannot handle this by myself. I cannot do it. I need your help." And that simply means we need to stay in touch with Him. How do you stay in touch with God? By prayer, amen?
Amen.
By Bible reading, staying in the Scriptures. Have you been in the Scriptures this week? What's taken most of your time? Television, sports. And they have their place. At least sports does. I don't know about the rest of television. Most of it's garbage, junk. But we need to stay in touch by prayer and by reading the Bible and meditating. I don't think a lot of Christians understand the principle of meditation. Now, don't just read it and be familiar with it, but think about it. Think it through your mind and get it into your heart. Meditation on the Word of God is so important, and we cast our cares on Him by doing that. Be saved. Admit our inability. Stay in touch with God. Now, what does God do when we cast our cares on Him? What's His responsibility? What does He do? Well, first of all, I think He gives courage. God gives courage. I believe He does that. When I first started preaching, and even now to this day, I always have a little bit of apprehension. And I always say to God, "I need you." When I first got up, I believe my knees knocked 90 miles an hour. When I was just a kid, about 15 years of age, or even maybe a little bit younger than that. I'm getting old enough now and I can't remember how old I was when I preached my first message, but I know I was very young. And I remember getting up and thinking, "God, I can't do this by myself. You're going to have to help me." And I got up and I preached against shorts and cigarettes and drinking. And about 8 minutes later, I was through with my whole message. But I still needed God for that. God gave me courage to get up and do it. God will give you courage to face whatever you face. And you're not going to find your courage in a bottle. And you're not going to find your courage in drugs, legalized or otherwise. The courage you're going to find is courage that you find from God Almighty. He will give us courage if we cast our cares on Him. Courage to what? Courage to accept what we cannot change. God help me to change what I can, but if I cannot change it, then God give me the courage to accept what I cannot change. A handicap situation in my life physically, some kind of suffering that I go through, the premature death of a loved one, whatever it may be that God brings to your mind, God will see you through that and God will give you courage. I remember a very dear friend of Carolyn and mine, and he's a pastor, still pastoring, His son was the same age as our daughter. They were born almost just close at the same time. And this little boy was a fine, sharp little kid, athletic and everything. All of a sudden, one day, I got a call from my friend, and he said, "We got word that Paul has a tumor, has a brain tumor." And he was probably about 5 or 6 years of age, somewhere around there, as I recall. And I remember the devastation. He loved that boy. Oh, listen, he loved him. He looked just like his daddy, and everybody would tell him that, and he'd about pop his buttons off. You know that feeling, some of you dads. I'm glad my son doesn't look exactly like me. He was spared that in his life. But I remember the devastation that they had and the heartbreak that they had. But they didn't quit. God saw them through it. God gave them the grace. Paul's in heaven now. Before he died and went to heaven, he would witness to everybody by holding up one finger, and he couldn't say a whole lot, but he'd walk up to people anywhere, restaurant, it didn't matter where it was, in the mall, and he'd say, "Are you saved?" And he'd point, "Are you going to heaven?" And then he'd give them a tract. And then sometimes his daddy'd get to lead him to the Lord. What a precious story that is. God allowed it. I don't know why. And they didn't know why, but they didn't let it get them down. They learned that God's grace is always sufficient. And my friend, it is. I think sometimes of young couples when they get married and they have no children, and they're just sort of floating on cloud nine, wherever that is. And I think down the road, you're going to go through problems. Your heart's going to be broken. All the difficulties that you'll go through sooner or later. And that's not to be morbid. It's just a reality, exactly what Job said. But I also think of the fact that God's grace is always going to be sufficient. We've gone through a few trials in our life, some pretty heavy. But I can testify to you today that God's grace has always been enough. I thought he cut it a little close a couple of times, but it's always been enough. God's grace is always enough. And God will give wisdom, not only courage, but wisdom. You see, God understands what needs to be done. And if you'll ask God for wisdom in those times of trial and difficulty, God will give you that wisdom. And you don't have to have a manual for all of that. You just learn to live one day at a time and trust him. And one step at a time. And you do what God says in James 1:5. If any man or any woman, anybody, lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth or refuses none. If you need wisdom in the midst of your trial, my dear friend, go to the Lord. He'll give you that wisdom. That's what he does. You cast your care on him, he'll give you courage. He'll give you wisdom. And he'll give you strength to do what he wants us to do, what he wants you to do. Philippians 4:13, you've heard it before. It's so clear, but does it register in our hearts like it should? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. How many of you believe that statement? Amen. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And I believe that to be the truth of the Word of God. Psalm 46:1. To the chief musician, that's you, man. For the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He said, sing that song. That's a good song. God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is a very present help in a time of trouble. You don't have to get an appointment with God. Aren't you glad you don't have to call him on the telephone? Please hold while you listen to this boring music. And then when they get back on, if it's number one, push this. If it's number two, push that. If it's number three, push this. Number four, push that. Number five, number six. And then none of them are the ones you want. And if none of these work, please hold. And somebody will be on the line in about 30 minutes. Aren't you glad God's a very present help in a time of need? Amen. We don't have to wait. We just say, God, I need your help. I need it right now. And God says, you got it. I'm here. I'm there. I'm there for you. Psalm 37:5 reminds us too that we need to be patient. God gives us patience. Faith to be patient. That takes a lot of faith sometimes. We've all learned not to pray for patience, haven't we? God, give me patience, and please hurry up. You better be careful when you pray for patience. I think it's all right to pray for patience. But Psalm 37:5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You got to commit it to him. You see, the problem with a lot of people, they try to handle it themselves instead of committing it to him. And you can't do that, folks. It's not going to work. It'll get you down. It'll mess you up. It'll get you out of church. It'll get your eyes off of Jesus. You've got to commit your way into him and wait on the Lord. Psalm 46:10, God says, be still and know that I'm God. You know, sometimes that's hard to do. Moses, be still. Here comes the soldiers. They're coming after you, the Pharaoh's army, and you don't have anything to fight them with. You got a Red Sea on the other side. Just be still and watch me do it. God can do it, folks. And sometimes he just wants us to pray and then shut our mouths and be still. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And sometimes that's what he's trying to do, is bring glory to himself through allowing these things to come in our life. And as I said, Romans 8:28, we know that all things, not some things, but all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, those who are saved, to those who are the called, according to his purposes, his purpose, whatever it may be. The greatest proof that God cares and that God will meet our needs is the cross of Calvary. Brother Phipps, he proved it on top of the hill. I love that song when he sings it. He proved it on the top of the hill. The greatest final answer to any human suffering. The only and the greatest final answer to any human suffering is Jesus Christ and Calvary's cross. And let me just say to you in closing this message, be forewarned. The trials are going to come, and some of them are going to be difficult. I've been here 13 years. I've been through some deep trials with you. I've watched many of you go through deep trials, and I thank God you're still here. I've seen a few bail out. I know of some now that are bailing out. But, oh, dear Lord, be forewarned. There are going to be trials, but God's going to be with you. Be encouraged that he is there in those trials when you go through them. And please believe all the proofs, starting with the cross of Calvary, that God does care for you. But my dear friend, let me tell you that it all starts with your coming to Christ. He proved that he cares. He gave his son. His son died for you. Be born again today. Are you sure you're going to heaven? Do you know that you've been born again? You say, I joined the church. That's not it. That's not what I'm talking about. You say, I'm trying to do the best I can. That's not what I'm talking about. You say, well, I've gone through all the rituals of the church and all of those things, that the sacraments of the church, and that's not what I'm talking about. Have you been born again? Have you trusted Christ alone? Only Jesus. Nothing else. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. O Lamb of God, I come. That's where it starts. And then after that, if we do what he says, if we believe it, no matter what we go through, we can keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. Cast all your cares on him. He cares for you. Let's stand, please. And Father, we thank you for the Word of God and for the promises of the book, for the truth. Thank you for proving that you cared when you gave your son. And I would imagine, God, I do not know the hearts of everybody that's here. I don't know, but you do. And I would imagine there are some here who have never taken their stand for Jesus, who never truly received him as Savior. They've never realized they were lost and they needed a Redeemer. But hopefully and perhaps it be true. No doubt you've honored your word that way, that you've convicted them today to say, make them know that they need to be saved. You've told them that, and I pray that they would be saved. Help us, each and every one of us today, whatever our burdens may be, the failure of our children, financial reversals, disappointments, physical problems, whatever it may be, a lost loved one, a lost friend, help us to cast our cares on you because you care for us. Help us to be willing to come to this old-time, old-fashioned altar, kneel down, and once again cast our cares on you. And help the lost to be saved. In Jesus' name.